Welcome back, Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I am Jay Taylor, your host, and I'm really happy to have Dr. Quentin Hanning with me once again, this time to give us an update on Lion One Metals, a company that he is an advisor to, as he is with many companies, many very exciting companies, many of which are, some of which at least are our sponsors of this show, and Lion One Metals is one of those companies, has about 156 million shares, $1.26 in Canadian money today, about 196 million Canadian market cap. Now, this stock is down about half of where it was in August of last year. I think even though everything is going, as far as I know, everything is going really well, it is an exciting story, as Quentin has talked about it before on this show, so we're really glad to have him back to give us an update. Thanks for joining us again, Quentin.
Absolutely, Jay, anytime.
Yes, and so I understand there's six drills turning there now, and this Tuvutu project in Fiji, and a couple of them are going very deep in the system, and some of them are from underground, I believe. They're doing a lot of underground drilling. Fill us in on what the company has achieved since we last spoke, and also maybe give us an idea of what their drill program is going to look like, what they're up to this year, because I think they're also advancing towards some production, perhaps.
Yeah, look, this is a very important time for the company because that production side is becoming it's coming more and more to the forefront. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. We have six drills on site. I'll kind of break this down. We'll talk about exploration for a bit, and then I'll explain why, from this point forward, exploration now has to work very closely with the development side of this story, because really what we're doing is going to go ahead and start moving the whole project towards production. Right, so this is, again, a very important step for the company. Now, first of all, a little background about the deposit. Tuvutu, which is what we call an alkaline gold deposit, it is associated with an extinct volcano. It's about 4.5 million years old. This volcano, the magma, had a lot of alkali metal dissolved in it, in particular potassium. That's why we call these alkaline gold systems. And these magmas carry a lot of gold with them. So when they come up and then they start to crystallize in the crust, that gold has to come off, and it tries to find a home. And what it does is it gets flushed out into the little fractures and cracks in the area above the magma chamber at depth. So you end up creating some very high-grade gold deposits out of this. So it's a high-grade vein system. It's narrow veins, mm-hmm. right? And this is typical of these deposits. Now, there's another deposit nearby called Vaticola. It was also called the Emperor Mine way back in the day. It's a very famous mine. It's produced over 7 million ounces. It started mining a little over 85 years ago. Remarkable deposit, one of the longest-lived mines on planet Earth. It actually helped build the company Western Mining, which is a famous Australian company back mm-hmm. then. Anyway, Vaticola, look, this is the perspective people need to take with this story. When they started operating Vaticola, they did not drill the thing ad nauseum to 7 million ounces and then go, let's see, should we capitalize this? Should we, you know, they didn't scratch their head for years and years and drill. They basically said, okay, we have a deposit. You know, they had enough information in hand to go mine, and the rest of the 7 million ounces basically unfolded as they mined. You know, they opened up new areas, which allowed them to drill new areas, advance the resource definition, yada, yada. Basically, you know, mm-hmm. repeats, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the approach we're going to take at Tuvutu. Exploration is progressing. It's been a wet year. This has been the wettest year in anybody's memory. We've had three typhoons just absolutely soaked on site, but it is drying out now. The dry season starts approximately this time of year. And the guys on site told us that they saw dust coming up from the tracks of wheels on cars recently.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a good thing. Yeah. Right? So exploration going forward looks like this. We're going to have three prongs now to the exploration. We have six rigs on site. Two are deep capacity surface rigs. So these drill from surface down to deep levels. Two are shallow capacity surface rigs. They basically can drill shallow holes from surface. And then two are the underground rigs that we just bought. These will be drilling from underground inside the existing decline. Okay, so what are we doing? So the three things. Firstly, we're going to drill with one of the deep capacity rigs. We're going to continue drilling the high grade that we hit late last year underneath Tuvalu. Okay, so that's going to be followed up on a routine basis with one of the deep rigs. The second deep rig is going to start testing new areas around the caldera. All right, so as things dry out, we can get up and start drilling underneath Banana Creek and other targets that we generated recently. The third set of rigs, which are the two shallow surface rigs as well as the underground rigs, guess what they're going to be? They're going to be drilling what we call infill drilling and, mm-hmm. and basically resource, you know, mine planning drilling, we'll call it, okay?
Yeah.
These rigs are going to be focused like a laser on drilling holes in and around the existing resource to define as sharply and precisely as possible where we should go mining, all right? So this is important. So we have three prongs. Deep underneath Tuvalu, deep or new targets elsewhere in the caldera, that's second, and then the third is the infill or mine development style of drilling that we need. Now, with the exploration side, kind of that story told, now I can talk a little bit about the development side.
Mm-hmm.
To make a mine, you need a team. Lion One has some members of the team already in place, but I have worked very closely with Wally and his team to build that. We're actually going to introduce more people into the picture over the next couple of months. It'll probably be, you know, that story will be told over the next 2 or 3 months. These are people that I know quite well and I know are committed to staying in Fiji long term and will be able to help the company advance the asset on both the exploration and development side, by the way. Okay, so mm-hmm. development side, look. What does the picture look like? Right now, the company's deciding at what kind of a production rate it would like to target. That's one aspect. The second aspect is putting the team together. That's where I've been helping with them some. Third aspect is timing around this and how do we make this go? Because really, this development is going to be what dovetails with exploration from here mm-hmm. on out. It's kind of going back to that Vaticola scenario that mm-hmm. I talked about. Okay, and I would say over the next 2 or 3 months, you're going to see the company start to talk more and more about its focus on advancing development. You know, they're going to put a decline down. This decline is separate. It's not the same decline that we have in place right now. This is a new decline that's going to be put in a strategic place to allow development of the resources. It's also going to allow us to have further underground access to mm-hmm. drill different areas. Okay, so that's kind of the first off the dock. The second part is the processing, the mill. The company's looking at different scenarios around a mill. Again, the size hasn't been set yet, but they're getting close. And as far as the metallurgy goes, they're looking at different scenarios, like different flow sheets for this mm-hmm. mill. I would say by May, maybe June, early June, they will have a lot of this in hand and present to the market a very clear story on how to advance it. So we're in a transitional phase. You know, we're going from, say, pure exploration towards the development stage at this point, but it's going to get more and more exciting.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, so in terms of the CapEx and all that, that's really uncertain at this point in time, depending on the flow sheets and how they decide to mine and how much they're going to mine and all of that.
These are
metrics that we'll have to wait for over the next few months.
It is true this is going to take a little time to put together, but here's the great news, okay? Lion One has, last I heard, a little over $61 million in the bank. That comes from the financing they did as well as the warrant exercise last year. That puts them in a very, very special, good position, we'll call it, to advance both the exploration and the development.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll look forward to it, and hopefully some of those deep holes come in nice and juicy. And people start getting really excited about this story before they have to raise money to put the mine. Well, maybe they don't have to raise that much, but I'm sure they're going to have to raise some. And one way or another, $61 million won't get you into production. I'm pretty sure of that. So, in any event, should be a lot of excitement. So we expect a pretty regular news flow then, I suppose.
From here on out with the dry season, yeah, things should improve in terms of news flow. Correct.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you, Quentin. Thank you so much for giving us that update and really helps us focus again on this story. Thank you for being with us and helping us understand it.
Anytime, Jake.